From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This week we're continuing our study of the law of God. But there is a difference in the program format. We usually have a period each day where we have a commentary on some topic of interest. But since I'm gone from Greenville for quite a while on an overseas preaching tour, I'm leaving out the commentaries for the moment and giving us a longer period for each day's Bible study. And so I trust that you'll stay tuned. We're going to be considering a very often overlooked aspect of God's law, loving ourselves. Now, don't jump to the conclusion that I'm reciting the psychological follies of the self-esteem movement. No, what I'm doing is examining and applying what is implicit in Christ's statement of the second great commandment of the law. There's a glorious gospel truth here, and I trust that you will be blessed by our study of God's law, His command, regarding loving ourselves. We appreciate the constant flow of interest and response that we receive from our listeners. We're glad to be able to make some valuable resources available to you, and these are all free of charge. We have mentioned at times various special messages on cassette or CD. We have set before you our Let the Bible Speak full-color quarterly magazine, which always makes interesting reading. And recently I have been mentioning our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart. Now, you may obtain any of these or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. If you're writing, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-5827. Our website is letthebiblespeakradio.com, or in the abbreviated form, ltbsradio.com, and there you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, commentaries on topics of interest, both in audio and text versions, and of course our internet bookstore. So I hope that you'll make sure to visit us soon at ltbsradio.com. So whether you write, or call toll-free, or get on the internet at ltbsradio.com, we trust that you'll be in touch today.
the man who has no love for God is a man who hates God, and he invokes the power of God's judgment against his own soul. Is it self-love that does this? Is it any true love for self that would make God your enemy? My friend, that's not self-love. That is suicidal, to disregard God and reject him as your Lord. The point I'm making is very simple. You cannot begin to love yourself. You can go to every self-help, self-image seminar in America. You will never know what it is to love yourself until you come to know and love your God. Until you cast aside every notion of your own goodness and your own greatness and fall before the feet of the Savior to embrace him as your Savior, your Lord, and your God, you will remain on a course of self-destruction. Therefore, go to the cross. Oh, get to Calvary. This is always the message of the book of God. Get to the cross. There you'll see the love of God. God is not sitting in heaven rubbing his hands with glee at the prospect of being able to damn miserable little souls in the lake of fire. God is a God whose love and compassion far outstrip our ability to understand it or express it. Go to the cross and see the greatest love story God could ever write. And he wrote it in the red ink of his own son's precious blood. Go to the cross where Christ died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. And there fall to receive him as your Savior and your Lord. Then will you begin to love the Lord. And as a result, you'll love yourself. That leads us to consider something of very vital importance to every Christian. It's a tension that every Christian feels. How is a Christian to maintain true humility and yet love himself? How is a Christian to avoid the twin evils of groveling in the mire of self-inflicted gloom, or glorying in the mist of self-imagined goodness? How is he to do that? We get the answer here. Let me put it this way. A true regard for ourselves will grow out of a thorough understanding of the Lord's description of us as his people. In love, the Lord has given us in the gospel certain great descriptions of us as his people. And the point I'm making is that we will only come to have a proper regard for ourselves as we understand the gospel and what God has said about us in Christ. Nowadays, there's a very avid interest in self-esteem, self-image, and self-acceptance. Big business across America is spending millions of dollars every year, insisting that everybody from high management down to the salesman who knocks on the door will go to these self-imaging seminars where some guru is going to build up self-esteem. There's a great interest in this. And that interest highlights a deep problem. Many people, even Christians, live in the fogs of hopelessness. Now follow me very carefully here. Try to get line upon line and follow me carefully. I want to digress a little. Hope is one of the most fundamental revelations of the gospel. Professing Christians who are living in the fogs of hopelessness. They suffer very deeply from feelings of abject failure. And therefore, they suffer from feelings of utter personal worthlessness. Focusing on themselves, such people can see no ray of light to pierce their darkness. Some of them develop a hatred of their bodies, and they either feed them to death or starve them to death. Some of them develop a hatred of their circumstances, and they live in bitterness against God and most other people. Some of them hate their very lives. And bereft of hope, they plunge blindly into the abyss of suicide. Now, this is sin. Each and every step in it is sin. God commands us to love ourselves, not destroy ourselves, not loathe ourselves, not utterly incapacitate ourselves. He commands us to love ourselves in the glow of His love for us and our love for Him. Let me make this clear to you. Lawless self-destruction, be it the destruction of suicide or any of the steps that lead ultimately to it that I have described tonight, lawless self-destruction betrays not only a lack of love for self, but a lack of trust in God and a lack of love for the Lord. Now that's the problem. Of course, any fool can outline a problem. But what's the answer? What is the answer? Let me start off with a negative statement. The answer is certainly not to be found in any of the psychological theories that form the basis of the various positive self-image techniques that are so popular and prevalent today. These techniques typically set your mind the task of being positive about yourself, about your abilities, about your worth, about your capacity for getting on top of your circumstances. Very often their message is that you must learn to assert yourself. And they do all this without any reference whatsoever to loving God as your Creator and as your Redeemer in Christ. They teach you self-reliance. They try to bolster that feeling of self-reliance by comparing you to other people who may motivate you to a better acceptance of yourself as you are. Now, what's wrong with these things? Simply this. They replace one faulty view of yourself with another. Remember, all true love for self flows out of love for God, which means it flows from knowing God in Christ as your Savior. I'm not going to prove that. I did that last Sabbath evening. All true love for self, ultimately, flows out of a knowledge of God in Christ as your Savior and Redeemer. The great need of the millions who are flocking to the psychologists and to the therapists is to know Christ. That's their great need. That's a need that runs deeper than anything any therapist without Christ can know. The answer is more wonderful than any worldly psychologist can ever supply. You remember the words of the hymn, at the cross, where I first saw the light. You ever think of those words? How up to date they are? How absolutely dead on their aim is? People bound in the darkness, then there are millions they're flocking to therapists who are in even greater darkness. And if the light that is in them be darkness, how great is that darkness when all the time they need to get to the cross and there they'll see the light. Bless God, that's always His answer. Get to the cross and see the light. That's their need. That's your need tonight. Without God or without Christ, that's your need. And as soon as you've come to Christ as a Christian, loved by God and loving God, a true regard for yourself will come from grasping the fullness of His gospel's description of you, of what you are and what you have in Christ. I've been a long time getting to the thrust of this, and I've taken that time deliberately. I want you to understand what I'm saying now. You've got first to be saved. And once you're saved, and this is what's missing in our churches today. This is what's missing for so many of the Christian people of America today. They come to Christ and then they're being fed in the husks of chewed over psychology. When they need them to get into the gospel, and they need to understand what God in the gospel says about His people, understanding He is true, He cannot lie. And if God says one thing, and anything or anybody else says another thing, then the other is the liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let's see how the Word of God treats this subject. 1 Peter chapter 1. We have the apostle writing to a people who, in modern terms, let me use the psychobabble of the day, or should I say the political correctness of the day, these would be a challenged people. Look at them. Verse 1. They are strangers, and they are scattered abroad in many places where they didn't belong. Now stop for a minute. It's easy, just because words appear in the Bible, to read over them and imagine that they really don't describe real flesh and blood people. These are not cardboard characters or plastic people. These are real flesh and blood characters. They have been uprooted from their homeland. The modern world would call them possibly refugees. They've lost all they ever lived for in the world. They've bidden farewell to the scenes of youth and every happy memory. They're alienated from loved ones. Some of them separated from family, never to meet them again this side of eternity. They're strangers and they're scattered abroad. Not quite the best ingredients for happiness. Add to that, in verse 6, they are in heaviness through manifold temptations or manifold trials. The word heaviness has the connotation of deep oppression and distress of mind. They are in heaviness. Could you blame them? Would you be in heaviness if some great Caesar uprooted you from home, scattered you where you didn't know anybody, where you had no roots and you had no opportunities, you were the offscouring of all flesh, and then he began to pour persecution upon you? Would you be in heaviness? If you'd lost a father or a mother or a son or a daughter and you'd no hope of ever finding them again, would you be in heaviness? Sure you would. And they were. They were just ordinary people. But yet, they didn't need a psychologist. And they didn't need a therapist. And they didn't need some self-esteem conference. They were rejoicing. Now that's a contradiction in terms, as far as the world's concerned. How do you rejoice when you're in that situation? How do you rejoice? Notice the first word of verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. What was it that they rejoiced in? What was it that brought joy to their hearts? Not their circumstances. They were as extreme as could be. But it was the gospel. Wherein refers to that salvation described from verse 2 to verse 5. Here's why they were rejoicing. We're strangers scattered abroad. The Romans hate us, but we are elect of God. We're elect of God. You know, that's why I can never understand these Christians. And especially these preachers. God forgive them for their almost blasphemous ignorance. Who will not allow God to be sovereign to elect his people. I can't understand that little mindset that flies in the face of Scripture. And I'll tell you why. Not just because the Bible teaches it, but because when your back is against the wall, when all the props are kicked away, it is a joy to know God chose me in Christ before the beginning of time. He predestinated me. I'm not an afterthought with God. I'm not a blip or an accident on the screen of the world's affairs. I am the object of God's eternal love in which he chose me. He predestinated me. He set about me the horizons of his eternal purpose. There's not a demon in hell can change it. What a joy that is.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.